Greetings this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing to be together on another spring Sunday morning. It's not quite as cheery outside this morning, but it's still a spring Sunday morning. It's just a blessing. Could we all rise for prayer? Dear God, our Father, we gather here in Jesus' name. We just ask you to come, dwell here in our midst. We pray for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and just be here. Bless your word this morning. Pray you'd anoint your word. Cause it to be an inspiration, an encouragement, a strengthening of heart for us, Lord. God, we pray that you would minister to our hearts and lives, each one of us where we are. Dear God, I pray for your grace upon my heart that I can share the things that you've laid upon my heart, but be able to do it in a way that is a blessing to everyone here. Lord, pray God that you would give us a connection with your heart this morning and that you would just flow here in our midst and continue to minister to our lives. We give you the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Like to talk about persevering saints this morning. You turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 34. Persevering saints. If you look up the word persevering, it means continuing despite difficulties, opposition, and being discouraged. Persevering is to continue despite difficulties, despite opposition, despite discouragement. Persevering, pressing on. Some synonyms, other words that are similar to persevering is steadfast, patient. And you put those two together and you get sort of an interesting picture. Steadfast, patient, yet determined and dedicated. Also faithful and true. Unwavering. Resolved and devoted. Persevering. Persevering. Lord, help us to be persevering saints. Persevering saints. I'd like to read Psalm 34 here. Several verses selected here. It's a little bit hard to just select a few because there's a number of them that are good here. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were delighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate, for the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant. And none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Persevering saints. I'd like to go back to verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So why do we need to persevere? Why do we need to persevere? Because there's hard things that come. There's difficulties that come. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The word affliction simply means bad or evil. Many are the things that are bad or evil that come to the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. As we think about life, the challenges of life, the very idea that we need to persevere suggests that there's some hard things or difficult things to push through, to continue forward. Temptations that just keep coming and plaguing us. And we can feel weary. This thing is at me again. It's an affliction, and we need to persevere through it. Persevere. Maybe it's a character flaw I have. I'm trying to overcome this thing. And I make some progress, and then I just fail again. What shall I do? It doesn't work for me, right? Or do I need to be a saint that perseveres? Perseveres. The desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. They're just so strong. I can't deal with them. I've tried. And it's not working. What do I do? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What about the old Adam that likes to get up and just sort of be looking over the... You know, last night it was sort of interesting. After dark, and we were at the end of our day, and we have a double door at our front door. The one is a storm door. The inside door was open, and at that door, there's a face looking in the door out of the shadows. Sort of interesting. We weren't alarmed as one of our dogs sitting there, just looking in the door. But that's what the old Adam likes to do sometimes. Just sit there and look at us. Just showing his face. In a shadow, maybe not so strong, and yet there. Why don't you just look at us? What do we do with him? We need to be persevering saints. Maybe other people are not treating me well. Life has not been fair. I'm being misrepresented, falsely quoted, talked about unfairly, just mean simply used wrongly. What do I do? Maybe an accident has happened. And it was none of my fault. There was nothing I could do about it. And it altered my life. Someone else did something. Maybe sickness has come. Maybe sickness has come. It just doesn't feel fair that this would have happened. What do I do in the middle of it? You know, we know people. Both sides of the spectrum, that sickness came and they're all discouraged and despondent. We know the person also, on the other hand, that is counting their blessings and they have so much to be thankful for, and you look at their life and say, but so much affliction has come. But they're persevering and keeping their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more demand than I can meet. There's more demand than I can meet. Maybe I've lost sleep. And I still need to be there. With a cheerful heart as a mom, let's just be really frank here. Exhausted and tired, and still I'm supposed to be cheerful. Billy spilled the milk. Lizzie's crying. And you could probably add a few more things. Someone just threw up. It's not always this way, but those times happen. And I'm supposed to stay calm and be sweet. Afflictions happen. It says there are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 17 said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 4 said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 7 said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Fifteen said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. Then 17 said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that are of a contrite spirit. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Like to read an account here of a man. There was a man living in the suburb of Kansas City who lost both hands in a premature explosion while blasting stones. He lost both hands. That's an affliction. An accident at work. His face was much torn. The surgeons did all they could for him, but his eyesight was utterly destroyed. He had been converted only a year or two. The Bible was his delight, and his distress at not being able to read it was very great. He chanced to hear of a lady in England who read the Braille type with her lips. Some friends ordered for him parts of the Bible in the Moonray's type. He could hardly wait for their arrival. Alas, the explosion had destroyed the nerves of his lips. There was no sense of touch there. He wept over the book and stooped to kiss it farewell. Afflictions. But as he kissed it farewell, he happened to touch it with his tongue. His teacher was recalled. He quickly learned to read the raised characters by running his tongue along them. And he says, I've read the Bible through 4 times. And many of the books of the Bible over and over again. He persevered. He pressed through in the face of affliction. That man loved God's word. Psalm 34:6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Maybe this saved out of troubles isn't quite like we would visualize it. Steadfast, patient, determined, dedicated, faithful, true, unwavering, resolved, and devoted. Persevering saints, Lord, help us to be persevering saints. I have 4 different points here I'd like to look at this morning. The first one is simply take a look at our Savior a little bit out of Luke chapter 5. A persevering Savior. Luke chapter 5, and then also another one in chapter 6. Luke chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 18. It says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. There's some persevering. They brought this man with palsy, and there was no way in. And I think it would probably be more difficult today than it was then to tear the roof open. But it still was not an easy task. To take the roof apart, make a hole, and drop the man on his bed down into the middle of that house and room. Perseverance. Perseverance. And when he saw their faith, this perseverance Jesus is calling faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. He saw their faith. And he went to the most important And that was that his sins would be forgiven him. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And this is a scene that was repeating itself over and over and over in Jesus' ministry, that they were challenging him about his authority to do things and why he would do things on the Sabbath and heal people. And there's all this criticism going on. And here's Jesus teaching. And these men tear open the roof and let this man down on a cot, a bed, probably a cot of some sort with ropes or something, down in front of him. And it doesn't say that anything had been said about what they wanted. It was pretty obvious. Here's a need. But Jesus just simply responded, looking at their faith. If they're going to go to this point to get this man in front of me, then they believe that I can help him. So he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And immediately he knows all the reasonings and the connivings that are going on in the room there. How would it affect me right now if I knew that there's just a third of you sitting here critiquing and looking at everything you can possibly catch that I'm saying wrong, and you're ready to tackle me on it? That's what was going on. So what did Jesus do? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto him, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk?" Now he sets two things up. Which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, and nobody sees anything happen, or to say, rise up and walk? And now he's on the test. If he says, rise up and walk, we need to see something. Something needs to happen. Which is easier to say? Well, they all know that answer's obvious. "But did ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. Says he, immediately he arose up before them, and took up there whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Wow. We've never seen anything like this before. But what you see is that Jesus didn't stop when things got difficult and a little adverse. He pressed through for righteousness' sake, for the cause of the truth. He pressed through. Now, let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, starting in verse 6, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered." So this man's right hand didn't look like his left hand. The right hand was withered and dried up. But it didn't fall off. He had it. There it is. There's nobody in here this morning with a withered right hand. But that was the situation. There he was in the synagogue. Jesus was teaching. What do you think the scribes and Pharisees are saying? Oh, here's another need. Here's another situation. Wonder what he's going to do with this. It's a Sabbath day. He should follow the law. He shouldn't be working on the Sabbath day. It says in verse 7, "And the scribes and Pharisees watched him." They watched him. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. Verse 8 says, and he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand in the midst. So now here's the situation. There's like a monkey in the room. And they're all watching what he's going to do. And of all things, he says, hey, Caleb, come up here. Stand right here. Now everybody's looking at him. There's his withered right hand. You can just probably feel the air bristle. Where was I here? Yes, verse 8. Now verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And here again he sets up two alternatives and challenges their theory on the Sabbath day. He was persevering through. And looking round about them all, he said unto the man. So he raises this alternative, then he stands there and looks at him. He doesn't say anybody said any word again. They ran into this over and over with Jesus, that he asked them questions that they didn't want to answer. Because they didn't want to pick one. Looking around upon them all, in verse 10, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Now what is really interesting here, here's this man standing in the midst of them, and they're all looking at him, and they all see the issue. And Jesus says that he should just stretch forth his hand. Well, the law doesn't say that you can't stretch forth your hand on the Sabbath day. And Jesus didn't even touch him. It says the man's hand was made whole. Jesus persevered. He pressed through. Another aspect is in verse 12. Or was I ready for that? No, not quite. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. They were looking for something to accuse him of, and they ended up not having it. But after that, Jesus, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. In the midst of this heated battle, Jesus got alone and prayed all night. He needed strength and grace from God. He wasn't walking through these difficulties flippantly. It wasn't something it's like, oh, that's nothing. He was seeking after God for strength, for grace. Within his heart. He needed help from God. Secondly, I'd like to look at persevering saints. And I first of all like to think about Abraham just a little bit. So Abraham was asked to leave his father's country. He left everything he had behind. Except he took his nephew, Lot, along. And God blessed them, and with time, their herds had increased, and there was actually conflict between Abraham and Lot's herdsmen about where to graze their flocks. An affliction. Now what do? Here we left, the two of us, and now our herdsmen can't even get along with each other. Now what? You know, at that point, Abraham could have said, well, this is not working out. I'm just going back to my father's house where I came from. Things were going well there. But instead, he yielded to the point of letting Lot pick where he wanted to be. And then Abraham went the other way so that there can be space to feed their flocks. Decisions. Jacob is another one. He wrestled with the angel all night. Jacob was a tricky man, a sly man, that could connive, or did connive, and pull his things. But then there was a night when he wrestled with the angel all night. He was about to face his brother Esau. And he wasn't sure what's happening. And he was realizing that he needs the blessing of God. And finally, in the morning, the angel said, let me go. And he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And the angel looks at him and says, what's your name? Jacob. Yeah, the slick one, the deceiver, the tricky one. God wanted to deal with that. He said, your name shall be Israel. From that point, he hit him on the thigh or on the joint of his hip, and from that point forward, he hobbled on that. He limped. Because God dealt with the real depth of his heart, but he wouldn't let go unless he got a blessing from God. Joseph, in the face of temptation, said, there's no option. I can't commit this sin and sin against God. He got falsely accused. He got put in prison. In the midst of that prison, he purposed to serve God no matter what. No matter what. And in time, he was the second in the kingdom. But he would not compromise. He persevered. Moses kept his faith in God when the children of Israel murmured and complained. His life testimony is he was the meekest man that lived on the earth. Joshua faithfully led the people from one battle to the next, kept walking with the Lord. He made some mistakes. David sought God in repentance in the midst of his failures. And there was more than one. The one where he had numbered the people. God gave him some options. And he allowed God to go through the camp of Israel and kill people. He said, God's going to be merciful at some point. He's not going to just wipe us out. He threw himself upon God. Trusted God. Jeremiah had prophesied and told the king what's coming in judgment. The king didn't like him and put him in prison. But Jeremiah persevered. He didn't compromise. He pressed on. Daniel refused to follow the king's ways and worship the idol or pray to the king. He didn't compromise. He persevered. Walked with his God. Proverbs 24:15 says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. Verse 16, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Then then mark it with it, Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We need to persevere and press through. I'd like to give an account here yet, titled, Be Sure. The man who once most wisely said, be sure you're right, then go ahead, might as well have added this to wit, be sure you're wrong before you quit. Be sure you're wrong before you quit. And as we face persevering in our Christian life, we get the urge to quit. Well, be sure you're wrong before you quit. Be sure you're wrong before you quit. Many times we're on the right way, and we need to persevere and press through. Then I'd like to just talk about persevering prayer, number 3. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. This word perseverance means persistency. Persistency. It goes right with what we're talking about. It means we persistently keep praying that prayer. And I think an example for us that we have right now in our midst, and we have more than one, but the whole effort to band together and pray about the immigration thing for Calvin's family would be an example where we can persist, we can persevere, we can press through, we knit together. It says where two or three agree together, they shall ask whatsoever they will, it will be given unto them. Then I'd like you to turn to Luke 18. You know, persevering in prayer, there's a number of things that we have prayed about, have prayed for. And some of them, it feels like we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and we don't see anything happening. What we need to encourage our hearts in is, let's persevere. We don't see the other side. We don't see all the effects. Reminds me of the account, and I've read it before, and I can just remember some of the details of someone that was watering a vine on one side of the wall, and is climbing up over the wall and trying to get this vine to bloom. It had special flowers, trying to get it to bloom. Tried all summer long. At the end of the summer, there's an invalid lady on the other side of the fence, called over one morning, said, you just need to come over here. You need to see this. The vine had crept through the crevices and cracks of the wall and was also growing on the other side. And that wall was covered in blooms. But the side that was being watered, there weren't any blooms. But faithfully, this person was coming out and watering this vine, trying to get it to bloom. It was blooming. But this person didn't see it. It was on the other side of the wall. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. This is Jesus giving a parable. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus clearly taught us to persist in prayer before God continually. The unjust judge said, by her continual coming, she's wearying me. He says, pray that way. Ask your Father in heaven that way. Continue to pray. Pray day and night. Won't God avenge his own elect who come day and night, though he bear with them long? He says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, it doesn't always feel fast, does it? It always doesn't always feel quick. We say a quick little prayer, and sometimes we feel like our prayers are answered before we even ask almost. The next time, we pray for a long time. And we need to keep coming continually and not grow weary in that prayer, but continue to persevere and press through. And then number four, persevering sinners, Mark chapter 10. This goes more directly to us persevering through for our needs. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start reading in verse 46 and read to the end. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. So, obviously, blind Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus and that he heals people, that he meets the needs of people. And he's outside of Jericho. And as Jesus is leaving with his disciples and a great number of people, it's like, there's this whole group of people. What's going on? He can't see. They said, well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming down this road here. And blind Bartimaeus goes, Jesus of Nazareth. I have a need, and I need him to come help me. He could have said, hey, here, somebody write a paper quick. Take it over, slip it to Jesus. Tell him there's somebody over here needs help. He didn't do that. He lifted up his voice and said, Jesus of Nazareth, I need help. Oh, Bartimaeus, calm down, quiet down. Don't be a disruption. There's a lot of people. And Bartimaeus wouldn't listen. Jesus, help me. I need help. And to him, he either got through to Jesus when he walked down the road today, or he was blind the rest of his life. That's how earnestly he viewed it. Tomorrow was not going to be a good day to try again. They charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal. And Jesus is walking down the street. All of a sudden he stops. Bring him over here. It says he stopped. He stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He's calling you. Would Jesus have been walking down the street and he got to where he's even and he just feels something, stop, there's a man to heal. Would that have happened? I don't think so. Blind Bartimaeus got earnest, serious, urgent. I need help. He persevered. He pressed through. He was determined. Determined. It says he cast away his garment and rose and came to Jesus. I don't think he slowly roused out of his chair and yawned. He got up, threw his garment away. Here, take me. Where? You know, he's going to Jesus. He can't see. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I think Jesus knew, but he asked him. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't lay his hands on him to pray. He didn't touch his eyes. He just says, go your way, your faith has made you whole. What did his faith do? Sit on a bench, quietly believing? He got urgent. He got serious about it. He got really pressed through. He persevered. Thy faith has made thee whole. And he was healed. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, here we're going to start reading in verse 1. Persevering saints. Persevering saints. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he says to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. For while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." So this is a different situation. I haven't studied the history of it, but this pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem that had water in it in a certain season, I think would mean time of the year, an angel would come and disturb the water. And then why only the first person that got into the water got healed, I don't know. But that is what happened. And did it happen that the water get troubled multiple times in the season? Was it one time? I haven't searched any of that out. I think it'd be interesting to know. But this man has been sick for 38 years. He sat there a long time trying to get into the pool. Whenever the water is troubled, I don't know, was he crawling, what he was doing, but as he's coming, somebody else always got there first. He says, and I don't have anybody to help me. You picture this pool, and probably there's a whole group of people. And whenever the water got troubled, there was not some kind of lazy scramble. I think the whole thing lit up in a get there first motion, as hard as people could go from all sides pressing in. But there's something about this man. He's been there and been there and been there and been there, and he's still there. He's still there because there's a chance of being healed here. And Jesus walks into that pool area, and I wonder how many people are around that pool area. And he walks up to this man and he says, "So do you want to be healed?" He says, "Yes. That's why I'm here. But I haven't been able to get healed because I've nobody to help me." And it doesn't give us more detail of what all they talked about. Jesus just says in the Bible here, Jesus told him, "Rise up, take your bed, and go home." Now, if he's like me, we have to analyze things. We have to understand what's happening. I might say, "Well, how in the world? I have to get in the water when it's troubled first. What do you mean?" Jesus said, "Rise up, pick your bed up, and go home." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And there's another conversation after this, like we talked about a little bit earlier. But he persevered. He didn't give up. Jesus looked at him knowing that he's been there a long time, and he just keeps being there because he is persevering and pressing through to be healed. And that man heard, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." Now, after he hasn't walked in how many years, wouldn't he need some therapy? Wouldn't he need to learn how to use his balance? Jesus healed him. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked On the same day was the Sabbath. And he carried his bed because the Jews got after him. It's the Sabbath. Why are you carrying your bed? Ha ha! This is bad. He's like, well, the man that healed me said I should take my bed home. Who is he? Where is he? All because he persevered and met Jesus and received healing. In conclusion, let's turn to Acts chapter 3 yet. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Lord is there to meet us. The righteous cry, and he hears. The righteous cry, and he hears. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. As we look at our situations, as we look at our afflictions, as we look at the difficulties in our lives, even though we feel lame and crippled and unable to go, the answer is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He is there to meet us, just like he's been there to help others. Let's persevere, be persevering saints that press through and connect with him. I'd like to read a poem here, Made of the Right Stuff. A little brown cork fell on the path of a whale who lashed it down with his angry tail. But in spite of his blows, it quickly arose and floated serenely before his nose. Said the cork to the whale, you may flap and sputter and frown, but you never, never can keep me down. I'm made of the stuff that is buoyant enough to float instead of drown. By the power of God, in Jesus' name, by his grace in our hearts, we can be like that cork in the midst of that big flap of the tail. We can still have the grace and power of God in our hearts, no matter what life brings our way. Turn to song number 591. I'd like to sing this song. I'll start it and you can take it on then. Come on. No, my sound's not going. Can you give us an E flat?